coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Norm Borg here. For close to three decades, this race has blossomed into one of the premier aged pacing events, I would say, in North America. I'm speaking of the Molson Pace at Western Fair Raceway. It's happening this weekend on Friday, and we're going to talk about that with a guy who's going to have the best seat in the house, track announcer and raceway manager Greg Blanchard, on this edition of Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. Greg Blanchard is the track announcer and assistant raceway manager at my old hometown track, Western Fair Raceway. It's a big weekend there coming up. Greg, welcome to Trot Radio, first of all. Good to have you back.
Thanks, Norm. Great to be here.
I think it's safe to say that the Molson's Pace is not only a signature event on the Western Fair racing calendar, but I think for its class, it's got to be one of the major events on the harness racing calendar in North America.
We like to think it is, Norm. Certainly, it's I think, grown in stature over the last few years. A $300,000 purse, certainly nothing to sneeze at. And I think it's become a major event for the older pacers on the calendar. And I think with the timing as well, it's one of the early races in the season too. So the positioning and the purse and everything else that goes with it, I think, has made it a pretty important race.
I think so, and I think it's a clear example of why we should have the older horses still on the track. I mean, you look at this field, and we'll get to it in a minute, you know, most impressive. There's no reason why even the most passive racing fan wouldn't want to come out to the track to watch that.
Absolutely, you know, and you can see the buzz, you know, when they're here. Even last week in the eliminations, it's just a different class of horse than the folks here are used to seeing on a regular basis. So, yeah, when you watch these horses and you watch them up close like you can on a half mile track, you can really appreciate how fast they are and how athletic, and it's a real treat. And what a field we have this year. I, you know, in terms of what's out there as far as older horses right now, we've got many of the best ones.
Oh, for sure. And let's just take a look at the 800-pound gorilla in the room, that being foiled again. I mean, this horse is a machine.
He is. I think that's a great way to describe him. Not the biggest horse in the world, but boy, is he durable. 24 starts last year. 9 already this year. You know, he races through that Levy series at Yonkers, and those are tough legs each week, and then to race in the final. So to have 9 really tough races under your belt already coming into this race speaks volumes. And, you know, he'll be around at season's end, too, if history repeats itself, and that's why he's got 50 wins and almost $2.5 million on his card.
Really is amazing, and, you know, and he's still cranking out the 149 and 148 miles, which I think is a real testament, as you said, to his durability. He's from the barn of one of the most prolific trainers in Ron Burke, who is also on the same race with Atokia.
Yeah, he's got quite a 1-2 punch. I mean, they're the two favorites in the morning line, and in fact, I'm going to pick Atokia for the win.
Really?
You know, foiled against the horse to beat on paper, and there's nothing to suggest that that he can't come through here in his third attempt at the Molson. But you know, Atokia, there was nothing wrong with his elimination. You know what happened there? He was second, but ultimately promoted to first. But it was arguable, you know, as to whether he was going to go by Art Professor anyway if he hadn't been carried a little bit in the stretch, and I think he would have. And when you consider he was parked and battling in a 54-2 back half and looked like he was going to go by, that's pretty impressive on a half-mile track.
Yeah, especially one as tight as London's. And you look at that final quarter of 26-3 on a half-mile track. That is just amazing.
Well, they were really sprinting. And again, you can really appreciate it when you're so close to the action. And, you know, he and Art Professor just simply stepped away from the rest of the field on that occasion. So there wasn't much to choose between those two. And they were every bit as impressive to me as foiled again was in his elimination, albeit he didn't have to go nearly as fast, and probably is going to have a little bit more left in the tank for this week.
There's a bit of a sentimental favorite, at least from our standpoint here at Rideau-Carlton Raceway in Anderlecht, who actually, you know, set the Canadian, or tied the Canadian track record for a 5.8 and 149.3 at our signature event, the Dev Smith, last year. Yeah, he's got a good post. Who knows? Obviously, anybody outside of Foyle again in a Tokyo is going to be considered a dark horse. But, you know, on a half-mile track, you draw the right post, never know.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he actually won, but wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see him get a big a big check in there. He raced very well in the Elim, and what impressed me was his gate speed. He had post one, and he took full advantage of it and really handled the first turn beautifully, so that bodes well for him. He was able to follow in, and you know, two back at Woodbine, he stepped up with that win in 150, a signal to me that he's starting to come back around. And, you know, he's a better horse than I think he gets credit for. This is a horse that, you know, when he gets right at the top of his game, I think he's a legitimate top-class horse. And he's coming into a six-year-old year, and in theory, if he stays healthy, this could be his best season ever.
Sure. I mean, age six, horses are, you know, I guess really coming into their own physically, they really do start to mature at about age six. They reach their peak, as I understand it.
Exactly.
Let's take a look at another big name, and that is Arcache Hanover. This is an individual that made a lot of his money on the Premier Stakes circuit at 2 and 3. He's now 4. A couple of thirds out of 4 starts. Got a third in the elimination. What's your take on him?
You know what? He's my dark horse. If I was going to look at a possible huge long shot in here, he's the one for me, because he's a big, powerful horse. I think it took him a couple of starts to get his feet under him this year. Just kind of raced along in his first two races. Two back at Woodbine, you see, he was bothered, and he looked very live at the end of that race and looked like he was going to be a major win threat there. Suffered some interference, placed up to third. And then last week, the unenviable task of going first up against Foyled again. But he also handled the track very well. I was impressed by him. I didn't know what to expect, frankly. I thought he was a gritty third, and I think he's just rounding into shape here. And, you know, he's a four-year-old. Sometimes it takes a few starts to transition. And, hey, trainer Greg McNair, he pulled the upset here in 2008 with Eagle Lux.
Yeah.
He knows the race. You never know.
One of the biggest win payouts, I think, in Molson history.
Yes.
I remember Frank Salive calling it one for the ages, and I think he was right. I mean, Eagle Lux came all the way from Lucan in that thing.
Yeah, and it was a great story. He had the local driver Trevor Henry on board, so it was, great storyline that year.
Well, you know, something about Arcache Hanover, this is a horse that can handle the half-mile track. He was a very close fourth in the Cleveland Classic over at Northfield in very tough conditions in a mile that went in 52-1. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him right there when the photo's taken.
Exactly. You know, he raced on a half a lot last year, and he had a lot of success. He won the Confederation Cup at Flamborough. But having said that, you know, he didn't handle the track beautifully that day. There were some bumps along the way leaving the gate and in the first turn and whatnot. So I really wanted to watch him closely last week, and there was no signs of that to me at all. It looked like he really handled the track well. So I think that's a good sign for him coming into the final.
Let's take a brief look at the rest of the field, and, you know, not to pay them any short shrift by any means, because as a wannabe owner, I'd be happy with any one of these.
Absolutely.
Casey Coleman's got Legal Litigator. Marky Mark's got the rail with this one.
Absolutely, and I don't think there is a horse in this race that can outleave him when he's on his game. So, you know, consider he's got the rail in here. It's going to make it interesting. I think the dynamic of the race changed a little bit with the post draw. I think he'll be better than he was in the Elim. He was really flat looking to me. He's a better horse than that, and we could see him step up from the rail.
Let's talk about the 5, Valentino, 4-year-old son of Rock and Roll Hanover.
Fourth in the Elim. Having said that, I thought he raced very well. He was parked every step.
Tough trip.
Yeah, absolutely. He caught cover, 3-wide move in the backstretch. So you know what? To hold on for fourth wasn't that bad. So, you know, trip him out a little bit this week, and I could see him, again, I'd be surprised if he won. I could see him getting a big slice of it, though.
Ben Wallace sends out Art Professor. Jody Jameson's in the bike. What's your feeling about this one? He was technically the winner of the Elim.
Yeah, I thought he raced fantastic, and what caught my eye was his snap move off the gate. You know, he showed a lot of good gate speed, another one that handled the track well, except for that stretch drive where he drifted out a little bit. So, you know, if they can get that rectified and he can get spotted early with that quick gate speed, you know, I think he's got a big chance.
Recent Hall of Fame inductee Robert McIntosh with another rock and roll Hanover offspring, a four-year-old, Rock Me Please, Mike Saftick, down to drive.
I feel bad for this horse. I thought he raced tremendously in the elimination. He had post seven there. He overcame that right from dead last to be third in that fast elimination. And he really was pacing hard in the final quarter, 27 seconds individually. And that was legitimate. He caught my eye in that event. Unfortunately, he's going to have to try and do it all over again this week. But the good news is, should have more speed to chase up front.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, he was eighth by eight lengths and had to cover all that ground, as you said. You know as well as I do, the seven hole, it kind of reminds me, you know, horses coming out of the seven hole kind of remind me of the bullet in the Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, at Western Fair anyway, where you swear they're going to strike the front, they get to where the old paddock used to be, and all of a sudden, you know, so it's a tough assignment.
It depends, and you know, I look at it another way here. We have the staggered starting gate, and if you do have a horse that can really step off the gate, sometimes, and it's odd to say, it can be a little bit of an advantage, the outside posts here. They can get off on the right foot and get the jump on them. Unfortunately for Rock Me Please, there's just so much world-class speed to his inside here. I think a leaving move would be suicide. I think he's
right.
Got one trip scenario that he's looking at, and who knows? There should, again, be some big numbers up front early, and he'll have a target to chase.
Now, I just want to make this point to anybody who's listening that is a passive fan of harness racing. If you want to see the best horses, and you'll never get a closer look at them like you will on a half-mile track, and in particular Western Fair Raceway, believe me, I know, I've been going there since I was five, you're right on top of the action, and when those horses of this class go by, you're picking dust out of your hair. By the time they reach the quarter, you're still picking it out of your hair. It's falling into your head. It's just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere here Friday. You know, the weather forecast, a little bit iffy tomorrow, looks better for Friday. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we're going to have, you know, the tarmac area down to the left of the grandstand will be opened up, and we'll have the Molson team there and the barbecue area set up. So I think it's going to be a fun, festive atmosphere. And a great vantage point to watch these world-class horses. If you're in the area, I think it's going to be the place to be.
I totally concur, and I would recommend anybody who's listening to take our advice. You want to see harness racing at its best and as close as you'll ever see it, be at Western Fair Raceway this Friday for the 28th annual Molson Pace.
And we should also, Norm, remind the big bettors out there, we've got that supercharged late win for guaranteed.
Yes.
Minimum pool of $10,000 on that and lots of wagering incentives that evening as well, and some big cash giveaways here on track. So
also, you guys are going to be picked up. You're going to be picked up on the Meadowlands feed, so that's going to increase your pool substantially as well.
Yeah, it's a separate pool event, but we feel the added exposure being on the Meadowlands distribution network is going to be huge. You know, we're splitting the pools, so on track, technically, we could get hurt a little bit, but we feel the trade-off is well worth it for the added exposure and
sure.
The added profile for the race.
Well, it'll be your first Molson Pace that you'll be calling from the booth.
It will.
Enjoy it immensely, and I know you'll never forget it.
No, sir.
and have yourself one great weekend. Say hi to all the gang down at the simulcast bar for me. Just don't tell them where I am.
Okay.
Greg Blanchard of Western Fair, thanks for being on Trot Radio.
Thanks a lot, Norm. Appreciate it.